This is Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Jobs are the political issue these days. Unemployment rates are stubbornly high, and we constantly hear people in office and those who want to be talk about creating jobs. But what do the actual job creators think? We reached out to Colorado business owners through our Public Insight Network. Dozens responded. Lee Hill is our Public Insight analyst and reporter. And Lee, tell us more about this series that launches today.
Well, Ryan, as you mentioned, everyone is talking about jobs, who has one, who doesn't, and most elected officials and candidates we hear all think they have a formula to create more of them. Well, earlier this year, we put out a call to local business owners, and we specifically wanted to hear from that group because they're the ones so many of the policies and ideas are aimed at, and we wanted to hear firsthand what works and what doesn't. And coming up today on Colorado Matters, we sit down with the heads of three companies who say government both helps and hinders them. For instance, we asked today's guests to give us their immediate reaction when they hear officials and candidates promise to help businesses create more jobs.
From your mouth to God's ears, you know, I think that politicians say a whole host of things in order to try to get elected. And unfortunately, being a small business owner, we don't necessarily always see that trickle down.
That was Yosh Eisbart. He owns a software consulting company in Denver called Nimble. He's got 40 employees and plans to add more. And here's Amanda O'Connor. She owns a civil engineering firm.
Sweeping promises don't really say a lot to companies until there's something that is real that we know we can apply for or do that's going to help us.
And Lee, that skepticism was a theme that emerged, you say.
It was. These business owners, many of them seem to have a love-hate relationship, and not so much with the government, but with the government process. Amanda also told us this. She wrote to us, as a small woman-owned business, the paperwork is just compounded in order to maintain our status with the various public agencies we work for.
Now, even when companies are ready to hire, sometimes the pickings are slim. Talk about that.
Well, here's another example of one of the people who responded. Y. Livingston owns a tea restaurant and store in Lakewood. And she suggests that even with government support for job creation, a lack of basic competencies is just as big of a potential barrier to hiring.
Educating our citizens. If we don't do that and do it appropriately, you're not going to have anybody that works for you. Finding people with writing skills who can communicate to your clients, that's very difficult.
And Yosh Eisbart, who we heard from earlier, is actually working directly with colleges to help them prepare students for what he's looking for in potential employees.
We've been partnering with Metro State College of Denver for the last 2+ years. It is curriculum, it's training, it's education, it's canned classes for the professors.
Your reaction to that might be, well, should business be dictating curriculum? We'll actually talk about that on Colorado Matters at 10 and 7 tonight. Lee, what other issues came up?
A lot of people had issues with workers' compensation. Here's Roger Sanders. He lives in Conifer and owns a company that sells sound systems.
Right now I'm at the point where I need to hire another worker. But if I do, I will have to buy workers' comp, and it's expensive. So this is a major barrier.
Of course, Lee, there's been a lot of attention on health care, and I wonder if that's something you heard from our respondents.
Yes, we heard a lot about health care. Here's Lori Helmick. She owns a salon in downtown Denver. She says the costs are a lot to handle.
It's already the biggest check I write every month. You know, I'm watching my profit margins erode. What's happened is that companies like myself, under 50 employees, all we can afford are high deductible health care plans now. I've got all these employees that won't go to doctors because they, you know, when they're sick, because it comes out of pocket up to that $5,000.
And Gwenyle Hagen of Denver owns a small business that installs energy-efficient windows and doors. And he says that although he bears the cost of some of his workers' health care, they absorb a large chunk too.
We have a fundamental problem when the bulk of employees are working for small businesses. And even though I pay far above median wage, still, think about if you had to pay $1,200 a month, even if it's pre-tax, but take $1,200 a month or $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year out of what you could otherwise spend on your children's education or clothes or food or house or whatever.
And you know, Ryan, this is an interesting topic because we found from a lot of business owners that they are conflicted in a sense about this because morally they want to be able to provide this benefit to their employees, but at the same time, they have to keep their doors open.
And the costs of healthcare is something we'll be addressing in this series with business leaders.
And another thing we heard was that although the government tries to help businesses and people looking for work, it sometimes fails in the execution of that. Back to Amanda O'Connor, that civil engineer in Denver.
I had two women that I wanted to hire, and they were both on unemployment at the time. So later in the year, my tax accountant came to me and said there was this tax incentive in place if I had hired new employees and taken them off unemployment within a certain amount of time in 2010. And then a few days later, my tax guy called me back and said, I'm sorry, Amanda, but these people don't qualify.
But this is a classic example of programs put in place by people, I would dare to say, have never run businesses before.
And that was our panelist, Wyatt Livingston, chiming in there at the end. Lee, what other topics do we have to look forward to?
Our goal is to talk to some of these business owners about the issues that are affecting their world. For instance, issues coming out of the state legislature. And we'll also wade into the presidential elections. There are very different proposals about tax reform. We'll ask how business owners will be affected by those different proposals and get them to weigh the pros and cons.
Well, Lee, thanks so much.
My pleasure. And we want to keep the doors of this conversation open. So if you're a business owner and can relate to any of the things you've just heard, or just want to share your experiences related to creating jobs, go to our website at cpr.org and click on the Public Insight Network to answer some questions and tell us what's on your mind.
That's Lee Hill, who manages our Public Insight Network. You can hear the first conversation in our series with Colorado business owners at 10 this morning and 7 tonight on Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner.